Welcome all to the show. I'm your host, Sully. And once again, there's no shortage of guests and there's no shortage of amazement. Welcoming to the show, we have martial artist, actor, action movie fan, and all around just very, very sweet guy, Mike Fury, here on the show.
Hey, guys, and hey, Cam, how are you doing?
And I'm delightful. Thank you for being here. And
yeah, thank you.
All together, so Mike has authored The Life of Action, Volumes 1 and 2, which has assembled just numerous action movie stars and martial artists from around the globe. He's always staying busy. He's also been a successful stunt coordinator. We're going to talk a little bit about the ins and outs of both professions. As you mentioned before, you know, action movies are life.
Sure. And I want to say right off the bat, Cam, I know we just mentioned this right before you hit record, but I want to apologize formally and say to everyone, because it turns out you actually reached out to me a while ago and I just didn't see the message with all internet boogeymen and weird, crazy stuff that happens. You know, you just sometimes you just genuinely don't receive messages. But yeah, I would have loved to have spoken to you, you know, a while ago when you did first make contact. But look, I'm glad that we finally had the opportunity, and it's nice to chat.
Hey, conversations go in and out the wazoo. Yeah. I can't believe we've been doing this for like 3 years, you know. Yeah.
And no, it's great. And I'm, you know, I appreciate what you do, and I'm always, you know, like, look, I'm sure we're going to get into it, but we're all, you know, we're all joined through our connection and our passion for movies, and specifically action movies, I'm sure. And what you do is really cool with the podcast, and you know, any time I can connect with like-minded people, it's always fun.
Absolutely. It is interesting how it kind of gets everyone kind of comfortable again in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we get the opportunity to share in our passions and our interests. And, you know, I think no matter what you do, like you running a podcast, or if you talk to, you know, an actor or a stunt person or even a camera operator or any, you know, anything in this business, everyone started from a place of passion. So everyone's got that story and that journey, which might be slightly different for everyone, but you know, we're all connected and we've all got that shared love.
Right. And it never fails to ignite.
Yeah.
Sooner or later.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've been fortunate to see a lot of your work. Confine and the Thompsons have been on a lot of horror movie channels, and I've seen, Zombie Diaries 2 back in the day, but
man, that was a long time ago.
A long ass time ago. How would you describe your workout routine, and what gets you up in the morning?
Well, in terms of like training workout,
yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, look, so you know, I'm a big, obviously, a film fan. We'll talk about all of that, but martial arts fan, you know, from a young age. Unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to get into it when I was a lot younger, like a lot of friends, and I'm sure a lot of people have this story where, you know, if you're a kid and your parents are into martial arts, or your dad studies karate or whatever, you know, it always gets the young kid into that stuff. I never had that introduction. My parents weren't really into that, which is, you know, absolutely fine. Everyone's got their own journey, but I discovered that much later, like as an adult. Basically, I got into martial arts. But in terms of, you know, the training, I was super inspired by all the action stars back in the day, you know, obviously seeing the physical development of the Arnolds and the Stallones and the Van Dams and those guys. That was, you know, super inspiring, and I'm sure it was for a lot of people to train. And so to this day, you know, I do train in martial arts. I train in primarily now it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I also, you know, lift weights and run and do different things. But I take much more of an approach now where it's kind of what I feel like doing on the day. So I think it's something that I've heard from a lot of people that get kind of fed up or tired or lethargic with their training, is trying to stick to a prescriptive kind of script. Oh, I don't want to go for a run. I don't want to go to the gym. It's boring. It's this, that. If you just do something you enjoy. Oh, today I just feel like going for a walk. It's a nice day, nice weather. I'm going to go. I think you mentioned to me before you went for a swim. So I'm guessing that's something that, you know, you go do. I do like swimming. Haven't been swimming for a long time, actually. But, you know, something that you enjoy doing.
In stages.
You're going to be so much more inspired and motivated to want to do it. Whereas if, let's say, you're not into the gym, like gym just isn't your thing, that's fine. Find something else that works for you. And it's like, that's kind
a different
of the best
way to work out.
that's the best way to go, I think.
Absolutely. I could not say that better. In fact, quoting a movie that you happen to be in. I've been fortunate enough to see your very thought-provoking sci-fi drama, Zoe and the Astronaut.
Okay.
And there's a great, great line in there that perfectly sums up what you said, which is only the body can die.
Yeah.
Not the soul.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And that was a fun, that was a fun film. That was an indie film quite a long time ago, actually. But it's funny. You're
so heartwarming.
You're taking me on a trip down memory lane with some of these references. Okay, cool. Great.
Streaming. Yeah. But yeah, it is wild. What movies, isn't it wild which ones get attention? You're like, you saw that one out of my entire repertoire of skills.
You know? Yeah, and to be honest, it's quite funny. I should say, like, up front, you know, I'm very grateful for you mentioning these things. I mean, I don't consider myself an actor by any means. I basically have had the opportunity being a martial artist, but working with some of the types of people that, you know, we would talk about through the journalism work as well. I have had the opportunity to meet and connect with people and then work on some film projects, which has been really, you know, it's really cool, really fun to do. And mostly that was like fight scenes or some stunts and things like that. But then, you know, as a kind of a weird coincidence, making a segue into like acting or playing a role or then having some dialogue is not something that I set out to do, if I'm being completely honest. So like, for example, you know, kind of a good example of that would be on Green Street 3, which was Scott Adkins and Joey Anser, who's a very good friend of mine from best known from the Bourne Alternator.
Isn't he the best?
Yeah,
that man is great. No shortage of just positivity.
Yeah, no, he's great. And so Joey was a co-star in Green Street 3 and also the fight coordinator. So he put together all these crazy fight scenes with Scott Adkins, and he got myself involved. I was very grateful to be involved along with many other people he knows, and that was good. Cool, that was fun. But again, just a kind of basically a goon fight scene, you know, you're just playing a guy to get, if you're in a Scott Adkins film as a fighter, you're just going to get beaten up at any level. that's basically what you're there for, and that's, you know, that's what he does well. So he's going
to, is that how you got to be on Avengement years later?
I mean, slightly different thing actually, knowing Jesse Johnson, the director there, that was how that came about. But what's funny is later for Green Street 3, the producers of that made another film called I Am Soldier, which was more like a military movie. And I just assumed, they asked me back, I assumed it was going to be for like, just, oh, you need somebody to fight for, so, you know, something like that, get beaten up, which is fine by me. I'm very happy and grateful to, you know, even to have that. But actually it turned out I ended up playing a small role. So with no fighting, I had some gun stuff, right.
It reminds me of Sidney Lumet's The Hill in a way, that movie. And I think that's why not everyone was on board with it. They were expecting, you know, all out, you know, nonstop stunt spectacular, and it's like, no, it's more
it was a different kind of vibe, but just an interesting, just in terms of like how I, you know, I didn't even come into it expecting to be an actor, but I am fully understand and acknowledge, you know, you, if you refer to me as an actor, I say I'm not an actor, but then it's like I've had acting roles and
featured
stuff,
so action star.
Yeah, so it's kind of, but it's kind of like how that's come about. So that's really weird, but interesting though, you know, and getting to be on these like I'm Soldier was interesting with the military guys. They had some former British SAS like military advisors. That was really cool. So kind of like just being in the presence of people like that is super interesting, just to talk to them and spend time with them. And then, you know, certain films you do, if you hang around with certain directors or certain actors, people you look up to, getting the chance to just hang out with them and hear some stories is great. And you think, why?
Perfect.
In what other scenario would I have this opportunity? So it's
you're right. Yeah. You might see him at a convention, but that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get a chance to just hang out after the fact with Tom Hughes of The English or Noah Clark?
I did hang out with these guys. I mean, everyone's different, you know. It's kind of, some people, I'm always very aware that everyone's there to do a job. So you know, you're there to basically, you know, to be professional and work. Obviously some people are more kind of friendly and want to hang out. Some people are just kind of want to turn up, do the job and go, not to be rude, but just like we're there to do a job, and that's fine. To be honest, I respect everyone's you know, everyone's vibe with that, because, you know, everyone's in a different place. Also, some people might be really busy or tired, or they're filming and they've got kids at home or something, and they've got a lot going on. So obviously, if I know people, like, for example, going back to it, you mentioned Avengement, I know Scott Adkins very well. I know Jesse Johnson, the director, very well. So that is like being on set with friends. You actually
welcome you with open arms.
Joey Anso with Green Street, that was good fun. And I knew a lot of the stunt guys on that. So, you know, we actually had like there was a real kind of camaraderie and friendship because I know them. If I don't know them, that's absolutely fine. You know, you sometimes come to make friends or come to get to know these guys. But yeah, you know, I don't do too much of that anymore. Obviously, since doing the Life of Action books, that was really a big focus, and I wanted to kind of dig into my own passion and interest for these action stars and action filmmakers and the kind of people that we grew up with. So that's having a journalism background and writing for magazines and online, that really inspired me to want to have conversations with some of these people, track some of them down and hear about their journeys in the business. And that really took me through the two Life of Action books. So that was kind of something quite different. Like the film stuff, I don't tend to do, you know, do that stuff anymore. I've kind of shifted focus a little bit, but
it was a casual interest.
Yeah. And also, like, I'm, you know, I'm grateful for the experiences I did have, but it's also, it's been good because it has informed when I have some of these conversations with, you know, stunt coordinators or filmmakers and things like that. I don't feel like I'm coming at it from a purely academic point of view. Like, I have actually experienced some of it, or I've experienced how Scott Adkins works on set, or how, you know, Jesse works on set and things like that. So there is a kind of a frame of reference. So it's been good. But yeah, man, it's a crazy, crazy world, and I dig it.
Yeah, and these guys will rescue any production if they really can, you know, whether it's doing pickup shots or what have you, or the director gets fired or isn't inspired, or
the
crew.
The kind of people we're talking about, it's really interesting. They're all, I think a lot of the people I take interest in are very dedicated to the work that they do. So if in the first Life of Action book, I had like Chad Stelsky and David Leitch in there, and obviously they're very experienced veteran stunt coordinators, and then would go on to direct the first John Wick movie, and then they branched away, and they're still business partners, but would go on to do different things. Chad would, of course, helm the sequels of John Wick primarily, and I'm sure we're all interested to see what else he does next, because he's really stuck close to that John Wick universe, whereas Dave mm-hmm. Leitch went off and did a Deadpool 2 and Atomic Blonde and stuff. So he's done some quite different kind of...
They're set for life.
Yeah, slightly more like comic book vibe, though. I know John Wick has that, but I really enjoyed, I think for me, Atomic Blonde was my favorite Dave Leitch post-John Wick film. But, you know, J.J. Perry now as well, very experienced stunt coordinator,
yep.
Who's now done Day Shift with Jamie Foxx, and he's working on his next film, which Scott Adkins and Marco Zaror actually are going to be in together.
Marcus,
so that'll be really fun. Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's really interesting to follow these guys' careers, and I think, yeah, they're super passionate about what they do, and it's nice that they, because they come from that martial arts world, they want to work with people from that universe. So they're not necessarily just looking at purely dramatic actors, although that's obviously that's great. We all, you know, we all want good drama, we need good drama in these films, but they remember the martial arts guys, or the veteran, you know, physical action guys, because that's the world that they came from too. And even, you know, having people,
that's
like Mark
completely
Dacascos,
the world.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys, and I met Mark Dacascos recently in he was at a film festival that I was involved in here in London called the London Action Festival, and that was really fun, because I've been a fan of him for, you know, a long time. I'm sure we all grew up on these movies, and then to see him in John Wick 3 was super cool. And then to kind of hang out with him in London, we did this John Wick, Villains of John Wick panel with him and Scott, and that was really cool. But actually villains, yeah, that was really good. But I was going to say a funny story about how I didn't see your messages originally, didn't get to make contact. I had the same experience. It's kind of paid back to me, where basically, when I met Mark, he was apologetic to me that I'd contacted him to be in Life of Action. He's like, "Oh my god, I didn't see your message." So it's like,
gets 500 a day asking Iron Chef fan mail.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, you know, and it's very cool. Like, I don't think we as fans need to see these guys in, you know, the biggest movies. I mean, we're not bothered about that. I'm certainly not. That's not the kind of currency I hold them to. But when these things do go full circle, so you're seeing people like you know, Chad Stahelski and Dave Leitch directing the big movies and getting these guys to come in and play roles. That is very cool. That, and that must be like a real humbling thing, you know, in the best way. And then, you know, people like Daniel Bernhardt, who obviously has a fascinating career, more on the kind of B-movie martial arts side, but then has kind of reestablished himself as a really dependable kind of character actor, bad guy right. character actor in a lot of these big movies. So that's really cool.
You can't predict success. He never yeah. expected to be the guy who stars in Van Damme knockoff movies mm-hmm. to working with Van Damme type people.
Yeah. 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 And it's like, I think he's, you know, it's interesting because as much as, again, we can talk about like different eras of these action movies, whether it's the kind of the muscle bound heroes of the 80s or the kind of the more video martial arts era to the, you know, the blockbuster era, which has always existed to some extent. But, you know, a lot of the B-movie martial arts world is kind of basically gone away in a kind of a sad way. But some yeah. of these guys, like Daniel Bernhardt, he's been able to, you know, as I say, reestablish himself, reposition himself in a different place. Where, and you know, he's older now, he's more mature, he's also a better actor, he's kind of gained a lot of experience. So he's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been able to bring like a different kind of game now to these productions, and I think it's for the best, because, you know, there's not too many low budget martial arts films are, you know, it's a hard game, and they're still being made on smaller budgets and smaller shooting schedules. So
now it's straight to the internet as opposed to your
yeah, and it's streaming and everything.
Store.
It's just a different landscape, and that's fine. But you know, then you get people like Scott Adkins who's been able to get behind his kind of real passion projects and write and produce his own work, like the Accident Man movies. Mm-hmm. So he's less kind of bound to other people's work or being given, you know, just the scripts, and he has to go away and do those. He's much more taken charge of his work and his career, which is really cool to see. So, you know, I'm very excited by all of this, and it's inspiring, and I, you know, continue to support these guys.
Very neat. And I think it just helps that they all have a great morale. They just let people inside their mind once in a while. They all have these passions. They all want to keep raising the bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wherever they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Cam.
I was going to also wonder, how did you get involved with Sammo Hung's history book that you worked on?
Oh, yeah. So that was... I guess this is, again, going back, way back before Life of Action. So, you know,
yeah.
Basically I started out writing just, again, as a fan. That's what you're driven to want to talk about this stuff. Basically anyone who listen can, you know, can hear about it. So I was writing online, writing for magazines. And I think one of the first magazines, or a couple of the first magazines I wrote for, and if there's some old timers listening, they might remember, it's a magazine called, it's kind of like a fanzine magazine called Screen Power, which was Jackie Chan's magazine back in the day. I think it was published like bi-monthly, but like a print, you know, a cool print magazine. And then it had a sister publication called Jade Screen, which again, it was more general, like Asian, kind of Hong Kong Asian movies. Uh-huh. And I wrote for those two magazines, and then the publishers of that put together this Sammo Hung book, which just compiled lots of different it was work from different authors, basically. So they just asked me, would you like to do a chapter or a couple of things, and I wrote a couple of chapters for that. So that was, you know, that was cool. But again, it's like getting a nice taste for that process of writing. I mean, I'm very critical of my writing, so I wouldn't really want to go back and read whatever the hell I wrote way back then. And I think the book's long out of print. But, you know, it was cool to do. And definitely all of this stuff, you know, it set me up for doing Life of Action later. Yeah.
Sweet. What tips and tricks do you have to recommend for those who want to outline their visions and put thoughts into written form?
I think, you know, it's just like a lot of things. It's just practice. Like if you're an actor and you want to improve as an actor, you need to act, you need to practice, you need to film yourself, you know, film, you know, all these auditions, self-tapes, and then watch them back and kind of critique yourself. Same thing, you know, if you're training, you need to physically do the thing. You can't expect to get better at swimming or running or lifting weights yes. to get stronger by not doing it. You have to just do the thing that you're supposed to be doing. So the same with writing. If you just practice writing, even if it's like rubbish, you know, you don't have to show anyone. You can just practice writing some articles, maybe get some feedback if you want from close friends, but you know, basically just practice and refine it, because you will get better in time. Like for me, you know, I cringe that, you know, some of my stuff, the early stuff, was obviously was published, whether it's online or in a magazine. And, you know, it doesn't, fortunately, there's not too many places you can find it now, again, like out of print magazines and things like that. But, you know, but then having said that, I was only at that moment in time, I was only as good as I was right then. So of course, later you're going to get better, but you can't fast track it. You just have to do it. Yeah. So I would say for anyone, it's, you know, think about what you want to write in this case. The only kind of, I guess, more personal advice I'd give is, because again, we live in such a saturated culture now, like so many people, you know, there's so many websites, so many blogs, people write online, people, and this could be the same for doing a podcast, for doing if you have a YouTube channel, there's so much out there, and that's not a bad thing. That's, you know, for fans, that's a good thing. There's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of fun stuff to watch and to listen to and to read, but just think, you know, what do I personally have to offer here? And the thing is, you'll always have something personal because you are unique, right? You've got your own perspective, your own tastes, your own interests. So don't try to, as much as it's easy to be inspired by other people, and that's good, try to, you know, have your own voice, develop your own voice, which again will come in time with practice. And, you know, don't be afraid to just take a chance and do it. And, you know, I think to build something takes time. If you start like a website or you launch a podcast or something like that, it takes a while to get going, but, you know, hopefully you have a passion for it and you enjoy it, and, you know, you just need to do it. And like I say, it will get better. Like, the technology will improve, your quality of editing, your, you know, everything will improve, but you do just need to get started. So hopefully that's, you know, that's something that people can take something from.
Sweet. And, if you had to pick, you know, other than Adkins, which other action stars that you've interviewed just really hit the right nerve with you to where you're just like, man, I talked to a god today, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no, I've been really fortunate to speak to a lot of interesting people. And like, for example, on Life of Action 2, which is the main book, if anyone's interested, they can check out Life of Action 2. Life of Action 1 is actually out of print now, but I'm looking to hopefully see if we can get something back in, you know, get it back into print, a new edition, hopefully in the future. But Life of Action 2 has Zoe Bell on the cover, and she's amazing. I'm a huge fan of Zoe Bell. But when we spoke, I mean, it was, what's interesting about that is I don't set out knowing who's going to be on the cover. I just, you know, did a bunch of interviews, and of course, you know, there's people that I tried to get in the book that I couldn't get and things like that. But you know, it always happens. But I'm not on a mission to think, right, this person is going to be on the cover. But, you know, Zoe Bell, after we had that conversation, and I had a lot of good conversations in the book, I'm really happy with the book overall, but that was like, I think we spoke for like 2-3 hours, and it was like, she's on the cover. Like, that was amazing, you know. Just if I can. And then the challenge is, because I think the benefit of, you know, a podcast or a YouTube video or something like that, the benefit is you can just use the organic flow of the comment. If we have a nice chat, people can listen, and it's fine. When you speak to somebody and then it's to be transcribed, you kind of need to capture that magic, that it's possibly not as interesting to read something, you know, as it was to hear it. Maybe it could be argued, but I'm going to try and translate that cool conversation we had, and her energy and her, you know, her passion, that needs to come across, as well as the literal words that she said, that kind of energy needs to come across. So hopefully, you know, I did try to do that, but yeah, she's amazing. So Zoe Bell, you know, huge fan of her, and even more of a fan having spoken to her. Michael Jai White, you know, I've interviewed him a few times. And then one time he was in London filming Accident Man. I basically interviewed him in the past for other things, but we were exchanging messages. And then when he was in London,
sweet man.
So yeah, he's a great, really such a nice guy. And he was here and he had some time, so we basically went for dinner, and it was like, that was a cool evening of just like having dinner, having some food, chatting. And, you know, it also forms the interview, but that was cool. And yeah, I mean, you know, Tony Jaa was in the second book as well, and he's awesome. And I'm a huge fan of a lot of these people. So like someone like Vic Armstrong, you know, who's a stunt legend, you know, going back to the he worked on, like, you know, James Bond and Indiana Jones and all these movies. So and he's like a fascinating guy. He's got his own memoir, actually, his own autobiography, which I recommend everyone read. And with somebody like him, the challenge is, I mean, what do you even say? I mean, he's like this amazingly experienced guy. If you just look, if you're not familiar with Vic Armstrong's work, just have a look at what he's done.
Love
he's
got book.
You know, he's literally got, he's got his own book, so it's kind of like, what can I add to this? So I tried my best to kind of come at it from a slightly different angle, but that was crazy. That was really interesting. So, you know, I'm super fortunate that I've had the opportunity to talk to these guys. And you do always walk away feeling inspired. Then the challenge for me is just to try to put that across in the book. And hopefully when you read it, you feel that sense of excitement as well.
Absolutely. Will you be republishing your books, especially the first one, which is out of print?
Yeah, so that's, as I mentioned, that's what I'm going to try to do. So it's been out of print for a while. There's basically, there's quite a lot of, if it was easy, I would love to just do it. There's quite a lot of work involved. But the second book is still available. So if anyone wants to check that out, it's on Amazon or it's on my website and Kindle and things like that. But the first one is out of print. So hopefully in some point in the near future, that would be cool to make available.
Sweet, sweet. And how did you get involved at the different conventions? Were you often invited by a lot of the stars to say, hey, we want you to host the Q&A panel?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think back. I mean, it started really being like, so in London, the MCM Comic Con event, I was asked to, it was actually Accident Man. I was asked to host that panel. And since then, I've been fortunate. I've had the opportunity to do like the BFI in London, done things for the BFI, and the London Action Festival I mentioned, and the shout out as well for the Fighting Spirit Film Festival, which just had its 8th year running, and I'm involved in that festival too. So, you know, it's cool to be involved in these things and helping to, again, communicate, hopefully, that love and that passion for action and martial arts films. In terms of being involved, I think it's just, you know, those guys, they like, you know, to have somebody who knows the subject, as, you know, as anyone would. And for me, it's fun to be involved and meet like-minded people. And, you know, it's like I could meet somebody like yourself there. You know, we're all fans. We're all kind of hanging out. So it's nice. And I think with things like the BFI, which is, you know, much more of a big film institution here in the UK, it's not necessarily like action and martial arts led. It's much more, you know, don't say art house, but it's like it's big films or it's kind of critically acclaimed, you know, good quality films, which, you know, action and martial arts should also be acknowledged, you know, in that same strand. So like I spoke to Sam Hargrave, had a conversation with him for the BFI Film Academy, which you know, Sam Hargrave, again, somebody else who's gone from stunts into making the Extraction movies, and you know, he's a really interesting guy as well. So yeah, I think for me, it's like the real motivation for that is to help bring those conversations to, dare I say, like the masses, and have those conversations, and hopefully help people acknowledge these films in the same kind of breath as the more commercial films, or, you know, films that win the awards. Because one of my biggest pet peeves is action being looked down on. That's why I wanted to do.
They don't even teach it in screenwriting, because it reads on page as person A punches person B 5 times, and you're like, but what if that's part of the character building? What if that's part of the genre? And I've asked even sci-fi horror fans about this before, and it seems like action falls victim to this too, where half the time people just seem to, I don't know, just vary on, you know, what gets called that versus what doesn't. And it's like, well, even if there's only a limited amount of car chases and everything, if the point is excitement, that should be action.
Yeah, and also what you need to remember is all of this, all of the excitement, the drama, the tension, which you should feel, that actually comes from story and character development. So to create cool, let's say, action, it could be cool horror, it could be, you know, visual effects for sci-fi, something like that. But to create these cool kind of hallmarks of these different genres obviously takes amazing skill. So for a start, that should be recognized and acknowledged, like, you know, stunts for action, again, the whole Academy Award conversation there, or, you know, to create amazing visual effects and things like that. These are all, you know, amazing skills that people have to spend, you know, years honing their craft and training and all this kind of stuff. But then also not to forget, good scripts and good character development, they fuel the action. So when you see an action movie that you are invested in, and you're really sitting on the edge of your seat, you know, invested in these characters and what's going to happen, that is far more compelling than if we're watching a bunch of, you know, maybe admittedly cool car stunts or things blowing up or people fighting, but we have no care for the characters. So, you know, you do need to kind of bring these worlds together. And when it's done well, when it's done effectively, you know, these films are great. These films stand up. You know, you can name, like, you know, what would be acknowledged as like the top, let's say the top action films of all time, or the top martial arts films of all time, whether that's, you know, Die Hard or First Blood, if you want to count that as an action film, or Enter the Dragon, or all these different kinds of pictures. You know, they're great films, they're great cinema. They're not just, oh, it's okay for an action film. That's another thing I don't like when people say that. You know, it's like, it's actually a good movie. Like The Raid is a great movie. If you don't like the violence, you might not, you might be a bit turned off by the extreme gore and things like that, but it's objectively a good film. It's a well-made film. And that comes from, again, not just the cool, crazy action and the fight choreography and things like that. It's also the story and the character development and the way it's shot, the cinematography and things like that. So I think that's where, you know, it's important to acknowledge quality where mm-hmm. it's deserved, basically.
Oh, totally. You did say some very key points there. It is really just sad that other than like say like the Screen Actors Guild and Emmys that for TV the Academy just keeps ignoring stunts and I think what the last one that won it was like Ben-Hur. It's 59.
So. Yeah, I mean I do think it's going to change, to be honest. I would predict in the next few years we're going to have some awards category. It might not be, you know, it might not start out exactly. It might be like I think they've even offered to have like the stunts, you know, unions have had like something that it doesn't have to be televised. It can be like a small thing, but just to acknowledge, just to have something. I think all of this stuff is making, you know, baby steps towards something. I do think, because it's just, it's too obvious now. And it seems they're strangely resisting it when obviously, you know, so many awards are given out to departments that don't risk their lives, that are great. I'm not, you know, putting anything down, but they don't risk their lives. And obviously when so many of the major best picture nominees, let's say, are epic action films or, you know, beautifully made big scale films with action, you have to at some point take the stunts into account.
That's lovely. And I do think the coordinators are going to just keep getting more second unit mm-hmm. or just big time directing gigs, since they're speaking some of the same language and very considerate. What have been some of the other coordinators that you've been fortunate to work with and see how they work and how they're also rising for the ranks?
Yes, I'm just thinking. So I mean, people I'm a fan of. I mean, somebody like Tim Mann, you know, he's in Life of Action too.
Adkins regular,
Adkins regular. But he also interesting guy. He's also worked. He's worked with Isaac Florentine as well as Adkins. You know, something like The Acts of Vengeance with Antonio Banderas. You know, I know in recent times Antonio Banderas has. He's being more acknowledged for his action. I know he did Desperado, but it's ironically back in the day, he seemed to do more gun action. Now he's actually doing more fighting, which is really cool.
Have you seen Security and Acts of Vengeance?
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So this kind of work, you know, is very, very good. And Tim Mann also works in Bollywood as well. And he's done some big scale Indian films. I think he did the latest Tiger Shroff film as well. So which hasn't, at the time we're speaking now, hasn't come out yet, but it's out very soon, I think. So
I'm looking forward.
So he's, you know, he's great. And again, really, what's interesting about him is some of these, you know, some of the stunt coordinators you get, they're good visionaries, but they don't necessarily do the physical action. Or maybe they did once upon a time, but less so now. They're more, you know, they're not to say they're in an armchair, but they coordinate, they look after those aspects, and they don't necessarily do it themselves. But a lot of stunt people and even actors have told me, with working with Tim Mann, it's like he'll show you everything he expects you to do, like crazy kicks, flips, everything.
And he'll actually exceed
some of the actors. Like he'll show them stuff and it's like, I can't do that. Like I can try and do a version of it or this, but you know, it's like he's crazy talented. And of course, if you remember in Ninja 2, he had a great final fight scene with Scott as well. So
I think so.
So he's, you know, he's great. And Yeah, I mean, there are so many, like somebody like, you know, just a shout out for Dan Stiles, who's a really talented up-and-coming fight and stunt coordinator here in the UK. He worked on Avengement, so he's, you know, Avengement was, you know, it was nominated for Taurus Award, which is obviously a big deal.
That is lovely.
In the stunt world.
Air those more.
Yeah, exactly. But if you just go and if you haven't seen it, watch the final fight scene for Avengement. I think it's probably on YouTube in the pub. I wasn't in that scene, but I was on set and I watched them do it. And it was like absolutely brutal. And that's a great example of, you know, the real kind of gritty nastiness of the fight with utilizing, you know, Scott's physicality, but it's not flashy. It's done to be, you know, gritty and realistic. And it's very nasty, very violent. But that film was that
everything
was,
a fight
was a great
needs
film.
To be.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, everything's got its place. Like, you know, obviously some of Scott's work is more flamboyant with the kicks and everything. Whereas if it's more of like a gritty thriller or, you know, more of a grounded piece, you know, the action should reflect that. And Avengement was, you know, it's nice to see that's become kind of a bit of a cult classic. And obviously I have a very small part in that. In the prison, I get to you know, be beaten up as always. We always get beaten up. But in the prison scene at the beginning, when he subsequently gets his face, you know, burnt with acid, I was in that. As I say, towards the end, that final fight in the pub, I was just on set, witnessing these guys beating the hell out of each other. But that was good to see.
You're like, I wonder how this is gonna play in the final cut. You know?
No, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you just know. I mean, when you're familiar with the work of, you know, Scott and Jesse and Dan Stiles was there, so again, credit to him, and also Luke LaFontaine, I should say, who's a great stunt coordinator and has worked a lot with Jesse, and his lineage actually goes right back to working on Martial Law and you know, with Sammo. And Drive with Mark Dacascos. So Luke LaFontaine, he is a very, very experienced stuntman and coordinator. But these guys, when you're seeing them put it together, you just what's funny, if you've ever seen fight scenes like just done, you know, without being in the finished film, you're actually seeing them perform before you. You get a lot of you know, fast movement and it looks cool, but there's obviously no sound because they're not connecting. It's like hoo, 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 hoo. No one's actually hitting each other. Of course they you hope they shouldn't be, but what makes it 100 times more brutal is in the final cut, once they start adding the cracks and the punches and
the foley,
the real kind of like crunch and the thud and somebody hitting the floor and the baseball bat that, you know, it's actually a cricket bat in Avengement, which, you know, cracking across someone's face, and they add that sound. It's like, oh god, it's horrible. But of course they didn't hit each other for real, but it's fun to see it all come together. And I made a short film a number of years ago as well, and that was a nice experience in terms of, again, editing and putting together the fights. So, you know, so much work goes into the edit, and it's less of a problem now, but historically that's where I think, you know, like Hollywood, it was always a talk in the 90s.
It's where the
wasn't
movies
it? Where, yeah, where, well, in like, yeah, it's made in the edit, but so many action movies historically were like messed up in the edit. And I think that's changed now. After, like, you know, it was always blamed on, it was like the aftermath of Bourne and Taken and films like that, where, you know, they were made a certain way for those movies. And I think they worked in that context, but everyone else tried to, you know, copycat shaky cam and things like this, or rather than using certain effects like shaky cam to enhance or add energy into the scene, they would use it to kind of hide inability of actors. Oh, if we use shaky cam, you can't see that, they're not very good, or something like that. It's changed a lot now. You know, I think as films become a lot more global, you've got, you know, Hollywood people working on Far Eastern films, or Far Eastern people coming over and working on Western films, sharing knowledge and sharing techniques and ideas. You know, it's much more blurred. It's funny, if anyone's old enough to remember this whole thing, it used to be like, we used to praise the Eastern action. Oh yeah, Hong Kong's great, blah, 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 blah. And then Hollywood, you know, for a period of time, didn't do action as well, it seemed, but that has changed now. So it's nice.
It kind of makes you wish they could be on set looking at some of the same people. Like, I hope someone can be on a newer Walter Hill or Antoine Fuqua movie set and be looking at how they're doing gritty action. And then, like many of your sets, they can be looking at how Jesse V. Johnson or Isaac Florentine are doing direct to video made for TV action. And then even see how to sneak your movie into an action themed independent movie festival instead of just wait for a Marvel guy to call you.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's funny that, you know, I do think, you know, the barriers, as it were kind of coming down. Like, again, just to use examples we've talked about, you know, people like you know, JJ Perry's and these, apart from being stunt coordinators, you know, they started out on like B movie martial arts action, and now mm-hmm. they're directing huge movies.
Lost track of how many times he was like beaten up on like Walker Texas Ranger, but then you see him in special features. Mm-hmm. Like Haywire was kind of where he really started being on like every other special feature, but I remember even in like promos that would like be featured on the internet and everything, like seeing him train Gerard Butler for 300, seeing him do fight scenes on 24, and then following up with how in love he was with training Scott Adkins and Hugh Jackman on the set of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Yeah. And I'm like, see, so he, kudos to him for just loving every part of what he does mm-hmm. before the 87 action team really took off with the works of Safe and John Wick.
Yeah. And I mean, but what's really funny about this is, you know, there's not some, there's not like some Hollywood gold badge or, you know, like gold sticker you earn. It's like he came from the B movie martial arts world, and he's incorporated all of that and funneled all his experience and, you know, skill set into what are still, you know, major movies. And like we're talking about, you know, Tim Mann came from a, you know, he choreographs, you know, Isaac Florentine and Scott Adkins films, but he's also the fight coordinator on a new huge Tiger Shroff film. So it's like, damn, these worlds are interconnected. It's not as segmented as people think again, you know, if like the Academy, oh no, we don't, you know, we shun action, we're not interested in that. It's like, guys, it's already there. Like the person is in the party. You're not keeping them out. It's all interconnected. And it's cool and it's inspiring to see that. So it's like, you know, as more people realize this, and especially it's the kind of the decision makers and the powers that be, you know, we can get these films better acknowledged by the awards ceremonies, and, you know, more opportunities for the actors and the stunt people and the filmmakers that make these kinds of movies. And, you know, we can all have fun kicking ass and blowing stuff up together, hopefully.
It's the kind of repetition that never gets old.
Yeah.
Do you have any upcoming projects you'd love to promote or?
Not right now. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I've been working on other stuff that's just, no, I can't really say much about at the moment. And, you know, recently being involved in some of the film festivals here. So I mentioned like the Fighting Spirit Film Festival just had its 8th year. For anyone who's, it's a shame, you know, obviously outside of the UK, you can't experience this, but anyone who might be listening from the UK, it's twice a year. It's worth keeping an eye on what's going on, because it's a great place to, you know, meet like-minded people and see cool features on the big screen, and they have awards and everything. I've been on the awards jury for 8 years since the beginning. And I was recently at the London Action Festival, which just had its second year. So hoping to do more of that, and keep an eye on that, on what those guys are doing, because they've got, you know, they've got big plans as well. I can't say anything before they announce it, but that's a cool festival, and there's, you know, and hopefully doing more with other film festivals around the world. But as I say, you know, hopefully getting Life of Action 1 back in print would be a goal of mine in the near future for sure. And, you know, anyone who hasn't checked out the second book, you, by the way, you don't need to have read the first book to get the second book. You think, oh, I'll wait till, you know, it's not a sequel. You need to have seen the first movie. It's a collection of interviews with, you know, a lot of interesting people.
Action's and
the first book is just a collection of interviews with certain people. The second book is a collection of interviews with more people. So you could read it in any order. So I would advise, yeah, if anyone wants to check that out, the Life of Action 2 book is still available now. And as I say, it's on Amazon and everything, or it's available on my website. For signed copies, some people like to get those, or a Kindle, you know, ebooks and things like that, if that's how you read your books. So it's a fun ride, and you know, hope people can I do still get messages from people, even though it's been out a couple of years, you know, people still discover it, or people ask me, I'm not surprised if people still ask me about the first book, you know, that's
something
I've
been asked about a lot.
Yeah, or like, oh yeah, do you know this person? So, you know, I appreciate it. It's, you know, we're in a community that's very passionate about this subject, which obviously I am too. And, you know, I know that you are. So I appreciate any, you know, any love and praise for that. And it's cool to see, you know, yeah, it's cool to see so many people getting behind it.
And it's also eye-opening to see, like, that people can not only just talk about this, but also want to keep the conversation going. It's like, oh, well, what cool action movie? I love your interests. What can you recommend to me? I would have never seen it had you not recommended it to me. Who's another guy who's similar to this star who I should check out? You know, it's just it becomes a unofficial kind of like a book club kind of.
Yeah, and I think what's been quite fun is, and something that never really occurred to me, but it makes sense as we talk about it, is when you have these conversations, well, for me as an interviewer speaking to somebody, you hear about movies or certain things that you think, oh, I'll check that out. But then also people reading it think, oh, Zoe Bell talked about working on this movie, or even being inspired on, you know, at a young age by this movie. Oh, I want to go and check that out now. So it does kind of lead you down the rabbit hole of discovering different things, which is really cool. And again, it's that, I think that shared passion, like we all come from a place of loving movies and being interested in movies. So everybody from, you know, me writing the book, you hosting this podcast, to the actor on screen, to the crew, the person doing the lighting or doing the sound, you know, as at some point as a young kid watched movies, thought, wow, this is really cool, I'd love to you know, do something in this business. Maybe I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I want to figure something out. And it's so we've all got these stories to share, and you know, we may have different influences and kind of places we come from, but basically we're all joined in this way. So I think it's cool, and it's interesting to hear, you know, sometimes people aren't as you know, people aren't just into the thing that you expect them to be. They actually come from a different place. Yeah. And, you know, like even just to take, like, let's just martial arts actors as a base, you know, some of them come from loving martial arts, obviously training, you know, fighting, having Bruce Lee posters and Van Damme posters. Some of them might be more dramatic. You know, they're actually more interested in the drama, but then they learn to do the fight scenes, or they came from stunts and they learned to act and things like that. So it's like everyone's got their own story and their own journey, and that's really interesting, I think.
And given how you worked on short films, do you recommend every action movie fan, even if they don't want to be a filmmaker, you know, just do that for fun, just to see, so they get more of the passion on how hard it is to make a consistent story filled with stunts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think if you're interested in
instead of just looking at endless clickbait with bloopers, and you're like, okay, no one could have predicted that 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is with technology now, you know, basically we've got, you know, we've got phones, we've got, you know, we've got the ability. Most people have some kind of basic editing software on their cell phone. You could get together with your buddy and shoot a short fight scene just for fun. Or it doesn't have to be a fight scene, you know, it could be a slapstick comedy routine, it could be something. So if you're interested in filmmaking, even just a passing interest, it's so easy to do now. You don't, you know, once upon a time there were gatekeepers, or certain obstacles, like you had to get a camera, you had to beg your parents to get you a camera, or hire a camera, and then find, okay, now how are we going to edit it? Now we need to find, like, get into an edit suite and things like this. And there are some, you know, there's some some of the people in Life Action have talked about this, but like having, you know, like Simon West is somebody I've just actually remembered while we're talking about this. But, you know, obviously, like, look, the director of Con Air and films like this, but he actually started out at the BBC, which is, you know, not doing TV, which is not what you'd expect. But he used to kind of practice his editing, and he was able to use facilities that he had access to, fortunately for his kind of like day job, you know, to hone his skills and do stuff. You know, that isn't the case now. You don't need to have like a day job where you can get into the office and work on stuff, or have a buddy who can get you in or get you a camera, or you can basically just shoot something on your phone, edit it, and you could like instantly upload it to Instagram or YouTube.
I was working with Snobs around the same time that what's his name, Steven Soderbergh, started going digital. And I was like, it doesn't matter, guys. We're all going to use this at some point.
Yeah. And of course, like, you know, the film's cool. Like, I love to see, you know, I like the fact that like Tarantino still shoots on film, or has this, you know, I'm sure he'll continue to for his last one. That's awesome. But nothing wrong with digital. It's all about how you shoot, you know, and again, having a good story, good script, good character. But, you know, yeah, it's there and it's available. So basically, if you're interested and you want to try it, it's there's kind of no excuse. You could just do something. You could, even if you want to make a short documentary about, you know, a cat in your local park or something, you could just take your phone and just do something yourself. So it's there and it's available. So I think, yeah, why not use it? You know, because I'm sure the our forefathers from the world of cinema would have like absolutely loved this, you know, people decades ago who never had the opportunity. But yeah, it's there. So it's definitely worth having a shot.
Anything to just make it easier to do all of this.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, like, again, just I think the only counter to that I'd say is it's important to not be lazy with it. So obviously the fact that we've got it and we can shoot and we can edit, great. But again, still put time and effort into write a good script, come up with a good story, you know, find your niche, find the kind of the voice you want to use in your film, or just the kind of story you want to tell. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect first time. You can practice, and actually practicing will make it better. And remember that the first thing you shoot or the first stuff you shoot doesn't have to go on the internet. We do live in a culture now where everyone excitedly, and I fully understand, you want to upload everything. I mean,
it might get you your next 5 gigs.
Yeah, exactly. But like when you're ready, of course, when you're ready, when you're confident, when you want to, by all means, share the thing, post the thing if you want to. But there's nothing wrong with just practicing. And actually, that's something that, you know, before the internet age, there was probably a lot more practicing took place before, because, you know, there wasn't the functionality of just uploading something to the internet or whatever. But there's nothing wrong with practicing, hone your skills and just enjoy the process, and you'll naturally get better over time, I think.
That's a good point too. People forget, you know, now there's like 50 different sites for every topic. It used to be stuff like that. You really had to kind of bite the bullet and do so much experimenting before you could actually find something very detailed and thorough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you got so many sites that are doing pretty much of the same kind of pros and cons. Like, hey, we tested this, we wasted money on this, so you didn't have to.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you like what you read, you might consider purchasing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, it's like, look, it's a digital age we live in. I know this sounds like, of course, I mean, it's kind of like an old man statement. But, you know, look, we have the tools, we have the platforms. If you're interested in writing, you can, you know, you can go write, you can publish your work. You can, again, you can shoot short films and you can upload them. You can even just shoot short fight scenes. You know, if you're a fight guy, if you're interested in the martial arts side, you know, there are some really talented, you know, really impressive stunt teams who just have, you know, they have YouTube channels and they just upload their clips. And again, it's practice and people feedback. And I'm sure the comments, you know, people probably say, yeah, this is awesome, or I didn't like this or whatever. You don't have to read the comments. I'm not encouraging that. But, you know, basically there's a lot of these kind of environments where you can practice, hone your skills, but also, you know, it's a community. You can kind of meet like-minded people and follow people that inspire you. And hopefully that's a fun thing to do.
1000%, my dude, this has also been just good at just kind of reminding everybody, not only that we always try to go beyond the sky's the limit routine and go even more into just make it or break it. Don't, instead of do something a little even more productive, instead of just staring at YouTube videos and getting outraged at what you don't like, channel that energy into something you want to put to task. And like, let's say you don't want to be on a film set all day, it's long hours, you might just say, hey, I'm going to come up with ideas and hire someone to adapt my ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like finding, you know, I think by doing things you find what you like and don't like. It's like, you know, everyone's got a different path, and not everyone can't do everything. Like, I've certainly got, you know, as I've gotten older, it's like I have strengths and weaknesses like all of us. So I have things that I would put myself forward for. I'd say, you know, Cam, if you need this done, call me, I'm your guy. But if you need this done, or I'm probably not the best guy for that, but
I'll recommend five other people.
Yeah, so, and that's absolutely fine. And I think something you kind of go through, maybe especially as a younger person, is you think you should be good at everything, or you want to be good at everything, or at least certain things. But it's you know, it's impossible, and nobody's good at everything. But I think, you know, not to be too like preachy about success and things like that, but it's most of the people that we look up to, whether it would be, you know, in, we could talk about like with film, with cinema, you know, they have strengths that they lean into and probably other things that they don't. And that's absolutely fine, but it's, you know, it reaps the best results, right? So you're more likely to have success with, you know, pursuing the things that you're good at and you realize you're good at. But again, that's not going to come to you unless and until you try different things. So it's just, you know, trying different things, but be open, be honest. And you might also discover you're good at something or you like something that you didn't expect you would. So yeah. That can be cool as well.
There was no telling what we could give it our all.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you ever so much again, because this was just thorough. This was also a breakdown as opposed to just, let's go here, let's go there. You took me on a journey here. And
okay, no, thanks, Cam. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And again, thank you for having me. And I'm glad that we were finally able to make some time to talk.
Anytime. And you're welcome back, especially if you want to just talk about your favorite movie or TV show.
Sure. No, for sure, man. That'd be great. Thank you. And, you know, again, thank you for what you do and for the podcast. And I know you cover a wide range of topics as well. It's not just movies. It's like TV, video games, and different subjects. But it's cool, man. And it's all interconnected. And, you know, I appreciate what you do. And again, grateful for you asking me. So, yeah, man, it'll be great to talk again.
Anytime, any variety, anything we can just outreach and just remind everybody, hey, remember when this was a big deal, whenever.
Yeah, man.
Why did this inspire a nation?
Yeah, for sure, man, Cam. So, no, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate it. And keep up the good work.
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's breakfast time. Listen at breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up Review Show.